Okay, you may stand, please. You should stand close to one another when singing, as you cannot hear one another when you are so far away, huh? You was all right. You should stand reasonably close one to another because you can hear each other better when you do that. You have more of a sense of an ensemble. Okay, exercise. Like we taught you to sing it last time, right? Ready? Two. Particular member of the tenor section who has a very wide ah. His O is this big. O. And I'm not sure what the E looks like. Well, that's incorrect, and but before I correct you, I want you to see what you look like singing it wrong. So you can see what it looks like when you sing it right. So you can make the eye face coordination instead of eye hand, eye coordination that what feels right and what feels normal are different, so you know that when you feel that you're doing it right, because that's the whole point of changing, is to realize that something feels different. And if it doesn't feel different until this particular feeling of singing a correct vowel becomes normal, you will go back and naturally fall into the old habit pattern of singing vowels wrong, right? And we don't want to do that, do we? No. Incidentally, I should warn you, I've been noticing a lot of absences appearing in the roll book. Legitimate or no, it doesn't take very many to fail, because it is a participation class. It doesn't take very many to fail, even though you make up the tape. You cannot make up a tape of a participation class and really successfully, quote, make up the material. So, it doesn't take too many to fail. Now let's work a little bit on an exercise which most of you have. Where do you put it? Your interest and mine. Okay. You don't know what that is? No. B E. B A. Now, all of you Bible college students, you should learn the Greek alphabet and how to pronounce it. All of you should. I'm not kidding. I am dead serious. I am absolutely serious. There's not a person in this church that should know the Greek alphabet if you're in Bible college. It's not that difficult to learn. This is my little hobby horse. I didn't mean to rock it in the music class. But I mean it. You should take advantage of learning everything you can. Your Bible study will increase fivefold if you can learn to use the basic Greek reference works. And it doesn't take a brilliant person to learn that. It doesn't take an intellectual. It doesn't take a scholar. Anybody can use Greek reference works. Anybody. If you can read English a little. It's very simple. The alphabet's simple. The pronunciation is simple. How much does a Greek, is a Kingdom Millennium, $4, $5? It doesn't cost a thing. It's really cheap. $3, I mean, the JWs don't want you to spend a lot of money. They want you to learn their faults. Not their truth, their faults. So it doesn't cost much. And in the front is the alphabet and all the pronunciation. And it's all right there in linear. Plus you have your Strong's Concordance and Young's with the Greek in it. Lexicon in the back. Plus there are other lexicons you can use. It's very simple. So, and in classes, I don't know if you've noticed, some of the other teachers do this. Whenever I teach a class and I have a Greek word to put on the board, I put it on in Greek. Always. And then I write it out in English. And though I may or may not get the circumflex on it right, I get the letters right anyway. And when I took notes in Bible college, I remember like apocalypse classes. My second semester here, I took apocalypse from Barbara. Now remember, I graduated 8 years ago. So a long time ago. It was 12 years ago I took apocalypse from Barbara. And I remember she'd get up and she'd write Arsempios and all the other Greek terms having to do with man-child and man-boy, Arsempos and all the other terms. She'd write them all out with the Greek letters. She copied them, but she wrote them all out. And then she'd write them in English, and then she'd write the definition, the English equivalent, I guess as a translation would be better. And I would always write those things down in Greek letters in my notes. And I didn't know the Greek alphabet. I learned most of the Greek alphabet before I ever took Greek orientation. By writing the Greek words down, Mike would always put Greek words on the board, in Greek, see? And Hebrew words on the board in Hebrew. I'm not quite as good with that. fact, I'm not good with that at all because I haven't taken Hebrew orientation. And now I guess it's combined. When I took Greek orientation, it was a three-hour class. And we meandered through Dante and Manti quite a bit. That was an exciting life. And we had, you know, had to memorize declensions and memorize conjugations. It was just a stream. Greg really taught the class. But it really helps to learn it. It really does. It really does. I'm a girl. I'm a housewife. What difference does it make? Sister, let's see a vision in your eyes. Well, both of love a God made me, right? Now, this is an Italian exercise, actually. You can see it, and I want you to learn to identify these syllables. Po, tu, la, be, da, me, ni. How many are familiar with this exercise? Excellent. For the rest of you, as they say in New Jersey, the purpose is twofold. One, proper vowel shape. Two, proper consonantal articulation. We talked about the energy of the facial muscles. Interestingly enough, the potential exists that this exercise is a slight alteration of the Italian phrase "potu labe domini," which would be "Lord, empower my lips," translated. Which should be our prayer in this exercise. Empowering, energizing, strengthening this portion of your music mechanism, or your vocal mechanism. Here, pull, not just po, or pow, as we'd say here in Seattle. Po, pull, energy on the P sound, nice, round, proper shaped O without the diphthong added on the end of O. But O, po, tu, t, and the U sound, clear. La, not just na, la, but la, energy. Clean, quick, articulated L. Be, energize the B. Support the B sound, just not be, but be, energize it. Da, me, me, energize M and N sounds. Put support behind them. Me, me, right? Say it with me slowly. Po, tu, la, be, da, me, ni. Say it again. Po, tu, la, be, da, me, ni. It's on a four-note scale. You sing it. I suppose I could put that on the wall for you. Put it into your notes for practice at home. Simple, huh? Slow and legato. Energized consonants, nice round vowel shapes. Look at me, please, and let's sing it. Ready? Po tu. No, not po tu. Po tu. Po tu. Po tu. Don't change your O shape. Ready? O. Good. Now you're looking at me. O to la be. Not
B.
Sit up straight. Energize. Come on.
O tu la be da me ni. O tu la be da me ni. O tu la be da me ni. O tu la be da me ni.
Assignments, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
keep in mind if you've never been in a singing class before, and that is, your eyes are always on the conductor. Hebrew orientation is an excellent class. You can increase your Bible study capability as much. Yeah, isn't that what it's called, then? Your Hebrew orientation? I'm going to take it. You have to.
Is it required? Required for men for graduation. Can you believe that? Isn't that discriminatory? Huh? Praise the Lord that it is. I'm glad it is. I wish it was required for everyone for graduation. It's my opinion.
But that's true. I think using this to one should be required for graduation. Because I'm biased.
It is? It is required for Master Ministries degree, as is this class. Did we already send a rule book? You're right. You sure did. Good. Ah. Only if you take the music portion of the Masters of Ministries. That's right. Did I? Oh. Well, you can only require so much, or else it ends up to be a 5-year program, you know what I mean? So, I appreciate that. And we don't want to turn it into a school of music. That's why, how many credits of music? Is only 5 credits of music allowed? 3, 2? Hardly any. Somebody oiled the piano. That's not good. That dissolved the finish. Ooh, what did they put on this thing? There's something fancy on it, that's for sure. Hope it's not. Oh well. That doesn't matter to us, does it? We want to learn how to read music. So take out, I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. Now, we're all sight reading together today on this. Now, last time I played for you the first chord of the piece and began to conduct, and you sight sang, I can do nothing else but praise you. So today we're going to give you the first chord, and you're going to sight sing this. What else? Ready? Sing off, soprano. Alto? Tenor. Basso. Basso? One, two, three, four, one, two. Magnificent. Try it again. One, two, three, four, one, two. Don't laugh, sing. The question is, where are you? How many of you can sight sing? Any of you? Good. I didn't hear anybody sing it right. Quarter notes and half notes and stuff. This is really breezo. This is absolutely breezo. Okay, I'll play the parts and see if you can sing it this time. One, two, three, four, one, two. See, we're all sight reading. I can see it. There it is. My bifocal contact lens. Ready again. One, two, three, four, one, two. Everywhere. There's a lot of rhythmic mistakes. A lot of rhythmic mistakes. Quarter notes are one, right? So you go, I will sing. Speak the rhythm with me. One, two. I will sing hallelujah. Hold them out. To the Lord I will sing. See, that's only half note on Lord, right? What you're doing is you are manipulating it to what you think it should be. That's not reading music. That's inventing music. No fair. Top, one, two. I will sing hallelujah, three, four. Joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah to Him. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord, joy, right? Also, quarter note, joy, not joy, you're kind of hanging up there forever. Last line starting with joy, two, three, four, joy to the Lord, Joy, joy unto him. Right? One of the most common problems of brand new singers is they don't hold the notes out their full value. Don't make that common mistake. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Everyone, I can't hear the piano with that thing up. Everyone's going to sing the melody to start with. Read the soprano line. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah to
here by yourselves. 1, 2, 3, 4, sing it. Alto part. Everyone's going to read and sing the alto part. If all else fails, you can learn how to read music. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah to him. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord, joy, joy unto him.
Again,
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord, I will sing hallelujah to him. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord, joy, joy unto him.
Let's hear it by yourself, altos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Together on their separate individual parts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah to him. I will sing hallelujah.
so struggling with your notes? It's not a real struggle. Tenor part. Everybody's singing the tenor part. This is good for the bassist to practice these screamers. Sing them lightly if it's a little high for you. Tenor? Everyone sing the tenor part. One, two, three, four, one, two.
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah.
I don't have any ledger lines on my music, do you? I did a print. Okay, I need to write that in. I couldn't tell if it was a C or D from here, though I knew it was a D. I thought, well, if it was a misprint, I should sing the misprint, as we are practicing learning to read, right? From the top, tenor. One, two, everybody. Three, four,
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah to Him. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord.
Again,
I will
just the soprano singing the tenor line. One, two, three, four, one, two. Just the tenors. Tenor, alto, soprano. Singing your individual parts. Two, three, four, one, two. Let's hear the bass line. Everybody singing the bass line. One, two, three, four, one, two.
I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. I will sing hallelujah to Him. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord, joy, joy unto Him. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord, I will sing hallelujah to
two.
I will sing
catch, tenor.
Now, you read that piece of music, didn't you?
All of it. Good. Now, it's very helpful for the rest of you to sing everybody else's parts, isn't it?
Sopranos, you decided you can't read near as good as you thought when you had to read that tenor line. Let's take Behold the Angel of the Lord. Now, for those of you who don't know, I should define a couple of musical items that appear on this piece of paper. Yeah. Right? You may wonder why I talk funny. When we're just working on technical stuff, I just don't feel this urge to be super sober. But when we get talking about ministry, you'll see my countenance change. Okay, first of all, is this the Latin here? That is a staff. It's like this here. That is a repeat sign. That is a repeat sign looking at itself in a mirror. No, actually it's not. It's another repeat sign. And what these repeat signs mean is this. That you repeat once the music contained between them. And the dots point at each other from the dots in and from the dots back. So in the case of Behold the Angel of the Lord, you'll notice a repeat sign right after it gets started. And you'll see at the end of what is known as the first inning, a repeat sign going back the other way. At the first end of the first measure of line 3, right? Now you'll notice at the second measure of line 4, a little prismatic gadget that looks like this. I think it's an error, frankly. Boy, he makes those thick. That's a thickie. They're not supposed to be quite as thick as that one. But the way you have to make those is you take the skinny lines and keep sticking them next to each other on the typewriter. Well, it's partial spacing. And so you're just banging until you find out, oops, I got too thick of a line. And once it's there, it costs you too much money to do it again, so you just leave it, right? If you'll notice that he made the top and bottom one about the same thickness, so you wouldn't notice. The Bill does for a living is slam little things on a piece of paper with a typewriter. Now, that... If I had my way, this piece of music wouldn't have been written like this, but I didn't catch it in time. I would have written it out without the first and second endings. But seeing they're there, they're helpful for learning. That should probably be a double bar. Yeah, sort of the thicky. Because that's a conclusionary double bar. You'll see there's also one at the end of the piece. And what it does, I guess, is it makes an optional end of the piece. Hi. Cool. He didn't call first.
He called first, but I couldn't find him.
Went to bed 10
a.m.
Oh, I was through the opposite. Was that a peace offering?
No, it's just sitting on the file cabinet, waiting for you, and I thought you'd be in a hurry and wouldn't have time to get it.
Right. Can you call West Campus for me? And it's probably Norm.
Yeah, and he has another appointment that the U.S. force had to go to, and he decided to wait there a second, and they're in a hurry.
I'm in a hurry.
You're in a hurry, too. Okay, then he'll wait. I'm sure. Should we tell him you're on your way?
Tell him I'll be on my way at 10:55. So anyway, back at all. Repeat thingies, yeah.
So those the first repeat sign on the fourth line should be the double bar.
No, that's not a repeat sign. After the second measure, that's a conclusionary double bar is what that is. No dots. C.
See, you've got to have dots to be a repeat sign.
But they don't. They just want to sing one more time.
Yeah, that's just a double bar, a conclusion double bar. So what this piece is, it has two optional endings. Boy, that smells good. Whatever it is.
Just don't confuse that. The purpose of looking at it is to not confuse it with repeat time. Then you have what it looks like. All of a sudden you have I'll just tell you about it.
Beginning at the second line, you'll notice this long line with number one there, right? And it goes and it kind of brackets off at the end of the repeat sign. And then you have another one taking off in number two. What those are first and second endings. And what you do is you start the piece, and you sing along the first line, and then you sing the second line, all the way down to the repeat sign. And then you go back to the repeat sign and start singing again. Only this time, when you arrive at the end of the first line, you don't go on to the second line, but you jump to the second measure of the third line and sing the second ending. Right? And then when you're done with the second ending, then you go on and you sing all of the fourth line, and you come around, and all of a sudden, halfway through the first line of page two is another one of these here things. And you just keep on singing through to the repeat sign, which is after the second measure of the last line. But after you reach that point, you turn again the page and go back to the repeat signs in the fourth line. Right? And you start singing again. And you sing up to the end of the second measure of the first line of page two. And then leap madly down to the second line, third measure, and sing the second ending. And then you're free to go home after you're done singing the second ending. No, I'm kidding. Then that's the way that works. See how that goes? Now, this is part of sight scanning a piece of music, and we're going to talk about scan plans next semester. Is to always look and see where first and ending, second endings go, and then mark it. I take a nice red pencil, and I make big marks where my first and second endings go. And so when I sight read a piece of music, I don't miss those cues. I can see them quickly. Question, Daryl? One far right. That's a conclusionary double bar. Double bars, as you know, appear at the end of the piece or where there is a change in the music. Well, in that place where this one appears in the first page, that shouldn't be a thick and thin. It should be too thin, just a regular double bar, because the music goes on. And you see at the end is the thick and thin one. And that is the publishing. It's basically up to the publishers what you do. Okay, let's try this one. I'll give you the first chord. It is. Recognize that? Same as the last one. The last one was this. This is this one. Sing alto soprano. Tenors, you have a bad habit. You take your note from the soprano instead of the piano. Don't listen to what other people are singing. Listen to what a note appears on the piano for you and match that pitch. Sing this pitch, tenors. Sing this pitch right there. This pitch right here. Now hold on to it. Sing it. Alto. Soprano. Oops. Okay. One, two, three, four. One, two, three. Behold. Wait a minute. He wrote that wrong. He did. Those are supposed to be quarter notes. Huh? The slurs are simply because it's the same syllable on two notes. That's why they're tied.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean this. Yeah, right. Hmm? Yeah, should. This is all written wrong. We should sing it as it's written, though, shouldn't we? Oh, that's terrible. How many were here that Wednesday night and remember it? It was quarter notes, wasn't it? Behold, behold. She never starts out anything with these notes. That wasn't eighth note. That was yeah, is what she sings. Now we know that. Well, I guess we better sing what's written, huh? No, like it. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
Behold, behold.
Guess what you did wrong? You didn't leap. That's what I just got done describing to you. If you were smart music students, you would have marked your music with arrows and lines and words of description and stuff. Oh, saved by the bell. We'll take all this up on Tuesday. Now, suppose that the organ repairman thinks I'm on my way, doesn't he? Peace off.